This is Digital Story Podcast number 633, May 1st, 2018. Today's theme is Street Photography 2.0. I'm Derek Story. Many people think of street photography as this stealthy activity that can lead to confrontation if the subject suddenly detects there being the unsuspecting target. But there's another approach, and it's one where the photographer openly integrates with the environment instead of hiding within it. I call this technique Street Photography 2.0, and it is the subject of today's TDS podcast. So if you've been following things online for us, you know that I just completed our San Francisco Street Photography Workshop. We had a great time and a very productive time. We got a lot done. We started out working in downtown San Francisco. We worked in downtown Oakland. We went to Chinatown. We did portrait work. We did architectural work. We worked with things like panning and juxtaposition. We created a lot of images, a lot of very fine images that we shared with each other and that all of us now have to keep. And one of the things that I noticed at the beginning of the street photography workshop, as I often do with my street photography events, is that some folks were a little bit nervous about going out in the urban environment and taking pictures of people. And as well, they should be if they didn't know what they were in for. And maybe I need to do a better job of communicating what they're in for. And that's what this podcast is about, really, is communicating my approach to street photography, which I call Street Photography 2.0. So here's the thing. When we're out in the urban environment with our cameras, we have as much right to be out there in public as anyone else. So regardless of what someone is doing, as long as it's legal, then we can be there. We can take their picture. We can be part of the hubbub that's happening, you know, everywhere in the city. The thing about it is, it's not so much that you have a right to be there and you don't have to necessarily assert that right. It's how you behave while you're taking advantage of that privilege. And that is really what this show is about, because your approach, your attitude while you're working out on the streets really has a lot to do with what you come away with. And I've got five things here to sort of articulate the approach that I like for street photography. And it's an approach that I think is very successful, not only for me, but I have seen it be successful for other people time and time again. So let's get to it. Let's talk about these five things that comprise Street Photography 2.0. First of all, it's not us versus them. The idea of going to battle and engaging in confrontation, that might appeal to some personalities, but it's just not the way that I do it. As I mentioned earlier, everyone has something to do while they're in public. They're either going to work, they're shopping, they're visiting friends, they're searching for shelter, etc. Our activity on this given day is pictures, and we are a part of that ecosystem. So our activity, which is, you know, photographing buildings, photographing people, activity, juxtaposition, artwork, all that kind of stuff, that doesn't mean that in order for us to do what we want to do, we have to take anything away from other people doing what they need to do while they're out in public. And so if you go into it with an attitude, hey, I'm not here to confront this person or to hide from this person or to try to, you know, take something away from them without them knowing, that's not the way that we're going here. I am here to really celebrate this environment that we're in and to try to capture its magic, its beauty, but sometimes its oddness, and even sometimes, you know, the disgusting parts of it. Although I probably do less of that than I do the other things, because I just tend to like things that excite me and make me feel good more than things that make me really sad. You know, everyone has their own take on that. The reason why this is number one is because it's all about attitude. is that if you're out there with the positive attitude that you're doing their thing while everyone else is doing their thing, and you're doing it respectfully, then you have a right to be there, and you can hold your head up high while you're doing it. And believe me, just that part of it, just that idea that you belong there with your camera makes a world of difference. It really does in terms of what you're able to do and what you come away with at the end of the day. Second point, know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Okay, the world is not a perfect place, and there are bad people out there. There are cranky people out there, and there are, quite honestly, crazy people out there. So you have to develop a bit of street sense to know, I think I can go up and talk to this person okay, and I should really stay way far away from that person. It's okay to have my camera out when I'm in this environment. I should have everything tucked away when I'm in that environment. Really pay attention to that. Really use common sense. This is truly common sense as to when you're out there as a photographer with your gear and when you're just another guy or gal just trying to get from point A to point B in the city. And being able to read that situation really goes a long ways in terms of how enjoyable your interactions are. So a lot of times, even on our workshop, and we were working in, for the most part, some really nice places, but there were, you know, moments where I said, okay, everyone, I want you to put your gear away. I want your flaps down. I want your jacket zipped up, and I want you looking straight ahead. And let's just go and do this thing. Then once we get there, then we can open up the camera bags. We can, you know, relax a little bit in our body language, and we can start to interact with the environment. You have to have this part of it. Otherwise, if you don't develop some sort of street sense, and a lot of that comes from just spending time out there, you can do that without your camera. You don't need to go out with your full kit. Just go out and take a walk in the city, pay attention to what's going on, talk to other people, learn where to avoid, learn the good places to go, and really kind of get that down. If you do that, if you really develop that street sense, that will help you in terms of not only having good interactions, not only in terms of avoiding trouble, but also in terms of coming away with good photographs. Number three, be complimentary. Now, what I mean by this is that when you identify someone that you don't know, a stranger that you've never met before, a potential subject, and you want to take their picture, there was probably something that attracted you to them. It could have been their energy. It could have been their smile, their shoes, a hat, a shirt. There's something about them that you go, I want an image of that. Whatever that is, start out when you introduce yourself by saying, you have the most fabulous smile I have seen all day. I am an amateur photographer, and I would love to take your picture. When you start out with that compliment, it's amazing how easy it goes after that. And I mean a very high percentage of the time. I'm talking about 9 out of 10 times it will go very well. You have a fabulous hat. I love your sunglasses. Those shoes are incredible. Your little puppy is so cute. Oh my gosh. Can I take a picture of you holding your puppy? That kind of stuff is really good. So be complimentary. When you are, and when you lead with that, you know, you introduce yourself, you give them the compliment, an honest compliment, right? Something that you actually believe, then that compliment will go a long ways toward winning them over and letting you take their picture. Number four, work quickly. Oh my gosh, please, please, please work quickly. Have your camera configured for the shot before you approach the subject. Do not get their permission and then start fiddling around with things. Once they give you approval, you have about 20 seconds to complete the shoot. If you can do it in 15 seconds, all the better. Remember, they are there not to be your photo subject. They are there to do something else. And they have a life too, and they are giving you just a little bit of their life. So don't make them regret doing that. Be ready to go. Have your camera set up exactly the way that you want. When you get that permission, have some idea of what you want to do, then do it. And then do it quickly and thank them afterwards. If you can get in and out very fast, they will not regret giving you that time and everyone will be much happier. And finally, number 5, be a man or a woman of your word. If they ask you for a copy of the picture, then give them your card, tell them to email you, and that you will reply with the photo. That is exactly the way that you do. Follow through is very important to the rest of us because that maintains the reputation of photographers on the streets. Now, you notice that I said give them a card. This is a critical tool that you need to have in your camera bag. And you can get business cards made for very cheap. For 10 bucks, you can get like 250 of them. And really what they should have on there is your name, email address, amateur photographer, and that's it. That's all you really need on there. Have that card ready to go. Hand it to them. Make sure that they, oh yeah, okay, I got that. And then if you want, you can make a note on the back. I don't think you need to. Just say, email me at this address. Tell me where I photographed you and I will send you a picture. When they do that, send that picture as quickly as possible. By keeping your word on the street, you make it a lot better for us and you will feel a lot better about your interactions in the city. So the high level approach to photography, street photography 2.0 is this. You're genuine, you're smart, you're respectful, you work quickly, you look people in the eye, you take their picture, and then off you go. Now, sometimes people ask me all sorts of questions that are sort of variations on this. For example, what if someone is doing something really interesting? Can I take their picture first? I say yes. Go ahead and take their picture first. They will probably sense that you took their photograph. Once they sense that you took their photograph, then make eye contact with them, you know, point to your camera, give them a thumbs up, and say, that was a really good shot. At that point, you can just sort of gauge on what to do next. If they look like they want to say something to you or talk a bit, then just go over to them, have your card ready to go. They may ask you, hey, did you just take my picture? Yes, it was really cool. I love it. It's beautiful. They may ask to see it. If they do, go ahead and show it to them. Then give them the card because they're probably going to want it and then follow through. The whole idea here is that you're not sneaking the shot. Now, most of the time when I take those kinds of shots, in other words, where I capture a portrait before I actually have their permission to do so, they just go ahead and just go about their business. As long as I made eye contact and acknowledged what I did, that seems to satisfy most folks, and they're probably off to do something and don't want to talk to me anyway, which I'm perfectly fine with. I just wanted the shot. So in that situation, the main thing is just don't sneak it. Take the shot, but be upfront that that's what you did. The other question that I get has to do with model releases, and I think that's a whole separate show, and it's one that I'm going to tackle. It's on the editorial calendar. And with model releases, the bottom line is that if they are recognizable and you're going to use it for commercial purposes, then you'll probably want a model release. For instance, when I do a training for lynda.com, which I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, I need a model release for the people that are in the training. However, if I post recognizable people on my blog, on Facebook, on those areas, stuff that is more editorial and definitely not commercial, then I don't need a model release, even if they're recognizable. So that's something to learn about. I do carry model releases with me. If I get a series of shots that I just really love, then I will trouble the person for a model release, but I try not to unless I think I'm really going to use it up the road because it does take a bit more of their time. And then finally, the last thing that people ask me that are sort of variations on what I just talked about is, what if someone has a negative reaction to me taking their photo? Well, then at that point, I really just try to make them happy. in all honesty. So, for example, if they said, I want you to erase that, then I erase it. If they say, I don't want you to take any more shots, I put my camera down. And I actually say, I'm sorry that I bothered you. That was not my intention. I just thought this was a really wonderful photograph and you were looking, you know, terrific in that photograph. But if that bothers you, I apologize and I will move on. And that works almost every time. I've had people get very upset with me when I wasn't even taking their picture. I was taking a picture of something else and they thought I was taking their shot. You know, they're kind of in the line, I guess. And then I had to apologize to them, even though I didn't take their shot. But that's the way that I approach it. I don't confront them and say that, hey, I have a right to be here. You know, I have a right to have my camera out. There's nothing that you can say to me that changes that right. I could go that route. That's not the way I choose to. I'll leave that up to you. But I have found that if I put the camera down and if I move along, you know what? Another shot presents itself. It really does. And I rarely have passed on a shot where I just go, wow, I'll never get that again. So anyway, so that is my spin on street photography. That's how we were embracing it while we were working in San Francisco and Oakland. And if you're a Patreon member in June, at the 1st of June, you will actually get to see a behind-the-scenes movie of us working in Chinatown. Mike Baining was really helpful. Oh, man. You know, Mike did such a fantastic job on this workshop. He co-facilitates it with me. He's an excellent street photography, and he was kind enough to shoot B-roll for us while I was working so that we could put this movie together for all of our Patreon members. That is coming up 1st of June. Remember, 1st of May, which is coming, I've got a different movie for our Patreon members. We got good stuff lined up for the whole year. So anyway, Street Photography 2.0 is probably not for everyone, but I can tell you it's definitely for me. And based on the results that I see in our workshops, seems to be for a lot of other people as well. More on DxO Labs choosing to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. So you've probably seen this headline somewhere in the news. It's kind of a big deal because DxO Labs, they create software and they have a camera, and the stuff they do is very good. So when we saw that they were filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, going, well, you know, what exactly does that mean? Well, fortunately, they posted a blog post, and here's, according to them, what that means. And I'm just going to read it to you right now. We are very confident that this procedure, which should not last for more than a few weeks, will not affect our customers in any way. In fact, we are pleased to announce the following upcoming product releases. In June, we will release a free update version 1.2 of our flagship software, DxO PhotoLab. Recently awarded the TIPA 2018 Award for Best Image Processing Software, this latest version of DxO PhotoLab will include improved local correction features and add support for 7 cameras, including the Canon EOS 2000D and Sony A7 11. Also in June, we will release a new version of the Nik software collection, which DxO acquired from Google at the end of 2017. Much awaited by the Nik software community, this first by DxO version focuses on fixing bugs that up until now could disrupt the user experience, as well as ensuring full compatibility with the latest Mac OS and PC platforms. So indeed, this does sound like bankruptcy protection, allowing them some time to reorganize and get their books in order. They didn't say anything about the DxO1 camera, but I suppose that will continue to be supported as well. So we will wait and see how this all pans out. But for the moment, if they're being upfront with us, then onward and upward. And hopefully this little air cover will help them, you know, improve their business and move forward. Great online training titles for efficient learning. So I was thinking the other day that I haven't really talked a lot about my software training titles on both lynda.com and LinkedIn Learning. And I was going, you know, there's a lot of stuff on there. And just to give you an idea of how much stuff I have on those two sites, let me just read you some of the latest titles. CaptureOne Pro 11, Essential Training. Luminar, Essential Training. Photos for Mac OS High Sierra, Essential Training. Dropbox for Photographers. Sharing Photos with Flickr. A Photographer in Cuba. High School Senior Portrait Photography, and a whole lot more. Now, what I did in the show notes was I put links to both my lynda.com author page and my LinkedIn Learning author page, and you can go to either one of those sites. The trainings are the same on both of those sites. It just sort of depends on, you know, which ecosystem you prefer or which one you're already in. And if you're curious or you want to learn more about any of these software titles that I mentioned, well, two of them are shooting also. The Photographer in Cuba is a travelogue about how to go about taking pictures in Cuba and how to navigate Cuba and things that you need to know while you're there. And High School Senior Portrait Photography is also, that's a live action movie that shows how to go about getting excellent high school senior portraits, which can be an excellent freelance activity, or if you have your own kids, it's something that you can do for them that make their life a little bit better and a little bit easier. I have live action stuff. We have software training. There's a lot of things on there that I'd like you to see if you're interested in learning more about any of these topics. And if you are, I have a promotion going for the month of May. The promotion is a signed print giveaway. So if you watch one chapter from any of my training videos on lynda.com or LinkedIn Training during the month of May, send me a notification after viewing that chapter via the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. All you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on contact, and that will bring you to the form. And of course, I have the link in the show notes as well. And by the way, you can sign up for a free trial on lynda.com. So if you're not already a member, you can just sign up for the free trial and then go ahead and watch these movies and it won't cost you anything. Once you do that, once you watch a chapter on any of my titles, and that's a chapter usually involves anywhere between 5 and 9 movies, generally speaking. Most of the movies are between 3 and 5 minutes long. And you will learn a lot. For instance, a good chapter for photos for Mac OS High Sierra Essential Training could be on organization, or you could watch a chapter on basic image editing. You could watch a chapter on advanced image editing. You could watch a chapter on using editing extensions. There's all sorts of stuff there. So it doesn't have to be a big investment. And that's the idea of what I'm trying to convey here, is that in a short period of time, you can learn a lot. You can really increase your proficiency in whatever it is you're interested in. So once you do that, once you watch that chapter, just send me via the contact form a note. And the nice thing about the contact form, it has, you know, all your name and everything there. It's, you know, it's very consistent for me. And just say, I watched a chapter on lynda.com or I watched a chapter on LinkedIn Learning. When you do that, your name will be entered into this drawing. And then at the end of May, you know, once May has completed, because this promotion goes for the whole month, I will draw a name. I'll randomly select a name from those who watch the chapter. And that person will be announced on the podcast on June 5th. So the lucky recipient of the signed print from the Maui Project. And by the way, this signed print is of the image that is the consensus favorite among photographers. So I've been showing these images to a lot of people. The one that photographers really seem to love, that's the one that I'm going to sign and send to you, printed on Red River paper, and it will look beautiful. So that's all you have to do. So this is something we're doing for the whole month of May. Watch a chapter. Let me know via the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, and then I will do the random drawing at the end of May and let you know on June 5th. I really appreciate those of you who do follow me on Lynda, who do follow me on LinkedIn Learning. I think that's really cool. And it's just another way that we get to relate to one another. The Aerial Photography Workshop is coming up on June 8th through 10th. And now that I finished the San Francisco workshop, I'm turning my full attention to that one. And the bottom line on that workshop is that it's going to be fun. I mean, this is going to be a really fun workshop. You will come away with a lot of images. We're going to go out and fly our drones. We're going to take pictures of hot air balloons. We're going to interact with the pilots and the crews of hot air balloon folks at the festival. We're going to eat good food. I've got lots of surprises for you. It's just going to be a great time here in Sonoma County on June 8th through 10th, 2018. And if you're interested in becoming a part of that workshop, just use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. Let me know that you want to attend it, and I will send you all of the information. A big thanks to all of our friends in the Inner Circle, the Patreon members who help support this endeavor, this website. So I'm working on your content for this month, and I'm going to have two things for you. One of them will be a training video, and the other one is going to be the behind-the-scenes movie from the Maui project that I just completed. And both of those will be going up here in the next few days. So by the time the next podcast rolls around, everything will be up. You will be notified via Patreon when those videos are available to you and can be downloaded. And a big thanks to all of our Patreon members who support this endeavor, not only this podcast, but everything that I do. You guys and gals, you're the ones that really make it happen here. And finally, a big thank you to Red River Paper. They are so a part of so many things that I do here. I printed the Maui project on Red River paper, the signed print that I will be sending out in June on Red River paper. And Red River Paper helps support this podcast. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. I love working with them, and I hope you support them as well. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I had a great time in San Francisco. I loved working with our Virtual Camera Club members there. There is so much talent in our community. So impressed, and I had a lot of fun too. All right, until next week, have a great week. I'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye now.